Hi, happy Thanksgiving, early Thanksgiving. We'll be saying this all week. We have opportunities to come together all week. And we can't say it enough, can we, to give thanks, to be in the spirit of gratitude. This is one of the key components of abundance work, and we've been working the abundance all fall, if you've been with us throughout this fall series. How many of you have been here at least once in the last 8 weeks? Oh, good. Most of you are on the Abundance Project train then. And those of you online, I know some of you have been tracking with us as well. So welcome. And outside is in the sunshine. Look at that sunshine. Wow. What a day, huh? After the rains. Anybody see the rainbow yesterday? Rainbows? Yeah. We are so blessed, aren't we? So many things to be grateful for. So as we looked at the final week of the Abundance Project, which is today, but it's really just a beginning, it's an end of kind, but it is a beginning as well. And I really appreciate that about the author, because there's so many spiritual books, that, at least that I read, and I imagine this might be the case for you, where I get inspired about some ideas and some perspectives, and then no real change happens. That I notice anyway, that I'm aware of anyway, right? But it's when we are clear with action that change happens. And that's what Derek Rydell does for us in this last chapter. It's a new beginning. It's a setup for creating a whole 40-day abundance action plan for us to really begin to work it and embody it and get practical with how this is going to come into our lives and really take hold for us. So that's what we're looking at today. As we finished up Unity Basics this week, we finished it up kind of in the usual way where we've talked about, you know, the five basic principles are depicted here in the art on the wall, and we got to number five, which is live the principles, right? It's about actions. It's about living it. And that's pretty much about all I say about it typically, because there's so much to say, and it's like, well, get out there and live the first four, right? But that isn't very specific, and that's what I really appreciate about what we have to work with today and going into our future together with abundance work and setting our visions and our own personal authentic abundance mastery goals, and then having a blueprint, a design that we can follow in order to really step in fully to all that we have come here to be in our abundant lives. So the aims of this is to allow your abundant self to shine. It's also an aim to generate abundant life, the abundant life that you want to be living, the next step, the dream that you might be holding, maybe that you don't even realize that you're holding. Or maybe it's an old dream that you can put in the back shelf and said, but I don't think that'll ever come true. Well, now you've got a community and a process that could support the possibility of you breathing new life into that dream that you have long held or maybe given up on. So it's whatever we defined as abundance for ourselves, whatever it is in our hearts today that we want to live into, step into, embody more fully in regard to abundance. The essential teaching of the Abundance Project is the havingness of abundance. You already have it. And where is it? Where do you locate it? Here, right? Inside. You have it here. So often we kind of get exhausted by the idea, I've got to go out there and bring it here, right? And I got to take all these steps to get out there and bring it here. Anybody feel like that's a little bit tiring for them or too much to take on with everything else you've got in your life? And so the good news is it's here already. And so much of the work, so much of the action is here. It's the inner work. It's the inner process of shifting consciousness And when we shift consciousness, then we open up the space so that the generation of abundance can happen. And then, yes, outside in our lives, things can happen, but it's more like a coming forth than a, you know, gotta go find you and drag you over this way, you know, kind of thing, whatever that you is, that goodness is. The author and activist, Lynn Twist, who was, she wrote The Soul of Money. I've talked about her several times. You might know Lynn Twist. She also, her more recent book is Living a Committed Life. And if you know anything about Lynn Twist, I mean, what an amazing example of somebody who just fully stepped in. She had a lot of privilege. She had a beautiful family and a beautiful home. And she was one of those people that was like, not feeling very fulfilled by all of this. And she just turned her life into this amazing experience of her goal was to end world hunger. I mean, like, no small stuff here, right? That became her vision. That became her goal. And once she opened up her channel to that kind of abundant idea, the people, the places, the resources came to make the connections to completely change her life into this experience of impacting others, feeling filled up by service, feeling filled up in every way. And it was really using these principles we've been talking about in these last 8 weeks, one of them being that everybody is your channel, right? Remember when Derek Rydell, that one chapter we did, it was, you know, yes, we have one source, and we remember over and over again, we have one source, but there are also infinite ways in which that good can come to us, infinite people and channels and beings that are a possibility for us to help us receive. And once we begin to look at that, once we begin to open up and go, wow, everybody is my channel? How could that be? I mean, I could sort of see where Susie and John would be my channel, but Bill? I don't see Bill as my channel, you know? But maybe Bill is holding the key, right? Maybe Bill is the guy. Because when you say to Bill, asking, opening up that channel, because you think there might be something here, there might be some connection here, and then lo and behold, Bill is thrilled to give to you. Because it's not about us giving, asking for things from a needy place. It's not about us asking from a place of imposing on others. Anybody ever have that one? I have that one, that little, ooh, I'm imposing on somebody. It's like, well, we need to get over these things for ourselves, because if we really believe these ideas, if everybody is our channel, if there's an infinite number of possibilities out there, then why would we stop their good and ours by not opening up the possibility, by holding the space, by seeing the opportunity everywhere we go, not just for us to receive our good, but of course, when we receive our good, it allows us to give more. So all of this is about tossing out our limited thinking, tossing out the contractions, the ways that we see ourselves limited and lacking. And we do that, we don't even have to focus on those things or worry about those things, because that doesn't sound like fun either, does it? But instead, we begin to step in to the allness, to the fullness, to the goodness. And those things reveal themselves that need addressing, like the shadow work we talked about earlier. And then we address them, and then we move on. We don't have to make that a big, long, drawn-out, painful experience. It can just be okay, there's a block in the way. Let's look at my block. Let's do this work and find the joy in doing the work. We won't know the joy is there until we do it. So this last week is really all about action, all about movement and saying yes and doing what is ours to do to bring forth whatever it is that we are dreaming about. So that having peace is essential. And out of the having is how we give. So when we have, when we know, when you are walking about the earth knowing, I have everything I could ever possibly need. Now, there will be moments that you think, that doesn't feel true for me today, right? There'll be times. But the more that we know this, the more we ground and center ourselves in this truth, the less those kinds of thoughts are going to get in our way. You know, Jesus said, I came so that they may have life and live it abundantly. And he said that after he told this little story about sheep and thieves of sheep. And he was talking about being the gatekeeper for the sheep, the one who cares deeply for the sheep, the one who minds the gate. It's like the hired hand isn't always going to mind the gate. Thieves will come in. But what are we talking about metaphysically there? When he's speaking as Christ consciousness. He's speaking as the divine I am in us, saying, we're saying for ourselves, I have a gatekeeper inside of me. And this gatekeeper came so that I could have life and have it abundantly. And this gatekeeper helps me shepherd my own thoughts and feelings. And so when they get a little bit astray, I just gently and lovingly bring them back through the gate that is the gateway to the possibility, to the vision, to the abundance mastery goal that I am working with, that I have set for myself. And then the thoughts and the feelings, they flow in the direction that I want to go so that I can blossom and be all that I have come here to be. So the actions that we're talking about here, some of them are outer actions. Some of them are specific things we can do in our daily lives in the world. But a lot of them are actions that shore up our inner, that shore up our inner work, that open up our hearts and our minds to the infinite possibilities, that have our eyes open to the world around us, to recognize and to see that everybody is my channel, which guess what that means? I'm everybody's channel too. And we are in this interconnected experience of lifting up the world. So if there's anything that hurts your heart in the world, that too can be a kind of harbinger of your vision. You know, that's where Lynn got started. Hunger in the world was heartbreaking to her. She had children. To imagine her children not having enough food was just something she could simply not say okay to. And to know then that her children and our children are the children of the world became her work, her life's work, her vision. So it could be that our vision arises out of what breaks our heart and allows us then to do what is ours to do in our corner of the world to make it so. Or it could be that you want to bring forth your dream house. That's what Derek Rydell, one of his goals was. And so he gave us some specific steps in his plan that he took, not only the consciousness-raising work, but he also set some specific actions for himself and scheduled them for himself. And he would go out to open houses to see these beautiful big houses that were beyond his means. And his family and friends said, "You're wasting your time. Why do you keep doing that? You're wasting your time. You should be doing other things." And he said, "Because it's helping me expand my mind and get comfortable in this new reality that I want to step into." And what, as a result of all the work he did, but specifically, he felt like some of those actions that he did, that dream home became his family's home within a few months instead of a few years or never, not at all. Because a lot of times that's what happens, is the not at all. We get excited, we get inspired, we think it's a good idea, and then it's like, okay, now's time to do some of the discipline, now's time to take some of the action, and we go, oh, I don't really feel like it. Can you imagine if Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, went to that lecture from Eugene Weeks and heard, "I'm a child of God and therefore I don't inherit illness." And she went home and said, "Wow, that was a really inspiring lecture," and did nothing else. We wouldn't be standing here today, I don't think, had she not taken action, had she not made a disciplined practice for herself to heal her body based on what she was inspired when she heard. For 2 years, she worked tirelessly in meditation to heal her own body. And in the process, the work unfolded from there. Now, her husband, Charles, was a little more the skeptic intellectual type. He was a businessman, and he said that when he was introduced to New Thought, at first it was felt kind of confusing to him because there were different perspectives that people were bantering about. And so he said, you know, in all this babble, I'm just going to go to headquarters. And he specifically said, if I am spirit and this God they talk so much about is spirit, then we can somehow communicate, or this whole thing is fraud. And then he says, this is in his words, I then commenced sitting in the silence every night at a certain hour and tried to get in touch with God. There was no enthusiasm about it, no soul desire, just a cold, calculating business method. He said, I was there on time every night, and I tried in all conceivable ways to realize that my mind was in touch with the Supreme Mind. In this cold intellectual method, one can easily understand why I did not seem to get any conscious results. But I kept on, month after month, mentally affirming the words that others told me would open the way, until I got to be a habit and I rather enjoyed it. And so that could be the approach that we take. That would be a super hard road for me, personally. But maybe for some of you, it's like, all right, this is an experiment. I'm going to see if this thing works. I need evidence. I want proof. And I'm going to, you know, like an experimental subject, I'm going to sit here night after night, day after day, until I see if this thing really works. Because he could see what his wife was doing. He could see the miraculous healing. As a result of this approach that Charles Fillmore took, he healed his own body miraculously. His leg grew that was short. You probably heard this story many times, almost back to the ground from a childhood disease, an accident. And he started to receive guidance. He received a dream that showed him Kansas City and the work that they would do in Kansas City. In a meditation, he received the name for our movement. Had Charles and Myrtle just said, those were some inspiring lectures we went back to in the day, weren't they, honey? And that was it, then this wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be a part of unity. I mean, when I think about how much my life has transformed as a result of unity, that absolutely breaks my heart. To think it maybe didn't, or couldn't, or wouldn't have, because somebody got the inspiration and it was theirs to do, but they sat on it. Squandered the possibility for all of us. That's the kind of size of vision that you may be holding in your heart right now. You may not know it now. I'm sure Myrtle didn't know when she started the process of just wanting to get healed what was going to come of that. You don't, and I think a lot of times Spirit doesn't give it to us because of that very reason. If we get to see the whole big vision, we go, no way, not me, right? That's too big. But our Spirit is always, always there encouraging us to grow bigger, to be bigger, to widen the channel so that the good, the abundant good can come through, that wants to come through, that longs to come through you. And why say no to it? Because it is everything that we've come for, right? It's the whole existence, to feel alive, to feel vital, to feel like we're having an impact, to feel like there's influence, to feel like excited about our lives and fulfilled in our relationships and joyful and grateful for all that we have and all that we are growing and becoming, because we are sharing it, because we cannot help share it when we are so full of abundance. So it's that disciplinary, that word, I think, even can put people off. So I'm going to cancel, as we used to say in the old days. Practice, right? It's just practice. practice is something we can take on. Practice is something we can take on, like an experiment. Practice is something we can take on and say, you know what? I'm going to do this all the way through. I'm going to do my 40-day plan, which is what this abundance mastery goal and the plan that he lays out in this chapter is all about. And so it's commitment. It's allowing ourselves to commit to something because it matters. You know, Charles and Myrtle have that covenant that they wrote with Spirit, that it speaks about the commitment that they made, still not really knowing, still not imagining churches. They didn't imagine ministries. That wasn't really what they were about. They were about healing and philosophy and something to help people along the way and publications. And then prayer came, and then healing letters came. And so it is for each of us that whatever it is that you are imagining now, you cannot see what will become out of that until you step into it. And to step into it and to be supported in the stepping in, there will be some actions to take. There will be some feet to move in the prayer to bring it to its fruition. So what will that be? We don't know exactly, because we don't know exactly what our vision is. Maybe some of you already do. So I want to invite you, just for a moment, we'll just do a brief exploration of that, if you wish, if you want to close your eyes and drop into your heart. And just call into your heart what Spirit wants to reveal to you, or maybe you already know, your heart's desire right now. It may be to have a more connected or deep relationship with someone, maybe to create something, whatever it is for you, let it come into your heart mind. And now, if you can feel, allow yourself to feel, put yourself in the position of this is already realized. How does it feel when this vision comes to pass, when I step into it fully? That it may even be available to you to see one step you took from this moment in time to get to that place. It's one action that you could take that move you in the direction of this realization. And when you're ready, coming back into this space. So once you have a sense of your vision, you can work with this feeling tone practice. It's called LIFT, is what Derek Riddell calls it, L-I-F-T. It's an acronym for Living Into Feeling Tone. And so he talks about how a lot of times when we vision, we go to the visual, right? Obviously, that's natural. And so we hold a picture in mind, and sometimes we get super attached to the picture, and that can get in the way. But feelings are always true. Feelings are always true for us, so we can always tune into the feeling sense we have about that vision already being fulfilled, and we naturally expand when we go to the feeling tone. So his suggestion is to do a daily lift practice. So you bring your vision, your abundance mastery goal, whatever you want to call it, into your thinking mind, your mind heart, like we just did. And then you begin to feel what it feels like for it to already be done. Just imagine what this could do for you, even if you never went any further, although I'm really going to make a big pitch for going further. But even if you didn't, imagine how that practice alone can open up the possibilities for you, can expand your mind and heart, open up your channel, because you're sitting in a vision and you're feeling into that vision. It's that next step, and it's a key step, because it's the fuel in the co-creation process, is that feeling tone. Some of the other specific things he outlines in this Creating Your Abundance Blueprint is, besides going within first and foremost and lift practice, is habitually affirming and claiming what it is that you are moving yourself into. And so, like Charles Fillmore, at first he's just saying the affirmations because somebody told him it was a good idea. But after a while, it became a habit, and he began to enjoy the habit. And then you know how it is. It's like once we are enjoying a habit, we're getting something out of it, we don't want to abandon that habit. You might think of it as physical exercise. Some of us, you know, get into our physical exercise program and we go, wow, this feels so good. Why don't I do this all the time? And then so we do because it feels so good. And then if we forget, we kind of fall off the wagon, right, of that. But we get back on. And same is true with our spiritual practices until it becomes something that's like I would never even consider not doing. You know, it's like, most of us would not consider leaving the house without brushing our teeth. And so it becomes a thing. Like, I don't leave the house without my meditation practice or whatever it is that practices that we design for ourselves that feels so good and that makes such a difference in our lives. It's all part of what holds up and fuels the widening of our abundance channel to give and to receive at the levels that we are truly here to give and receive at. So you might be saying at this point, I'm good. I mean, this isn't really all that inspiring. I read the book, or I've been here for most of the last 8 weeks, and it's good. I got what I needed. I'm out now. I'll move on to other things. I don't want to dig too deep. Derek Rydell warns us of that very spot. So if that's where you are right now, he has a word for it. Threshold response. We tend to have that kind of response when we are right at the threshold of major change. It's a natural, egoic kind of response. And it's like if we just stick with it, because when we open that door, when we take that next step, when we do that one more practice, when we commit to that one more thing, the doors are open. And now we are living in a new space. Some of you came to the light language workshop. Did some of you carry Jihan Guadalupe's? A few of you did, yeah. So when I first experienced Carrie's workshop, one of the profound things that happened for me was I literally like had a sense of myself in one space where I was currently, and I was moving in the workshop. So I literally like unzipped this reality and stepped in to something much bigger. I felt like the golden Buddha statue, you know, in the story from Thailand of that huge golden Buddha statue. And it was like, whoa, it feels really good out here. It feels really spacious and abundant and wonderful. And wow, that's me. That's me who just stepped through that. And that's the kind of thing that awaits on that threshold. So don't give it up because you don't really feel like doing it. You know, remember Charles and Myrtle, right? They had days where they didn't really feel like doing it. Thank God they did. Thank God they did. And you know how it is too. Once we get up and go, once we start moving, you know, I know this time of year too, it's dark at night and it's chilly and somebody will invite us to go do something in the evening. And I'm like, but it's dark. And it's chilly. I'm from the Midwest. I mean, that's like super wimpy, right? To be calling this chilly. But it's that kind of thing, right? It's analogous to that. If that thing that you're being invited to is a thing to do, then it's analogous to that. It's sort of like, I don't feel like it right now, but then we kind of get ourselves going, and then we get engaged. And when we get engaged, we go, oh, wow, I'm so glad I didn't miss out. Don't be the one waiting on the other side of the door who missed out. Who missed out on the greatness, the magnificence, the power, the truth, the light, the love that you have come here to be. Because it's right there. It's right over the threshold. It's like, it's calling us. It's pulling us. It's inviting us. It's opening the doors. It's yelling at us. And all we got to do is go, okay, I'll do it. Are you there? Are you willing? You going to do it? All right, so here's one last hurdle. If you're saying, okay, now, Kristen, really, 40-day abundance plan, like this sort of detailed, specific actions I need to take during the holidays? I can't do this during the holidays. Well, guess what? We thought of that. So we have a workshop January 12th. So for now, between now through the holidays, you can just envision, practice your lift practice, feel into it, you know, play around with the fun stuff of the vision. And it's all fun, but it's going to get like a little more fun and a little bit more, you know, what do they call that? Rubber to the road in the new year, which is when we want to do those kinds of new things anyway, right? So you've got the groundwork through this series. You can still work with it. If you want to go hog wild on creating your 40-day abundance plan now, go for it. Do not stop yourself. Do not stop the momentum or the excitement or the inspiration that you might be having or feeling. Absolutely do it. But if you are one of those people who's saying, like, the timing's not great, I'm just going to kind of be in my vision for a while. Great, but then don't forget to put January 12th on your calendar so we can get serious in the new year about this 40-day abundance plan. Are you with me? I mean, I just always think, like, imagine if, like, even half of us, or even a third of us, or even, if, I don't know, 10 of us, it doesn't matter. If a subset of our community really got serious about this and really got clear on what's your abundance mastery goal and how do you really want to bring it forth, and then you were in community with other people supporting you in that process, imagine what that does, not only for you, the people in the community, but all the lives we all touch every day, or don't even realize we touch, but energetically touch across the globe. The kinds of things we want to experience in this life, the kinds of things we want the world to be, are at our fingertips. They're in our hearts. They're in our minds. It's right here waiting for you. Maybe as simple as unzipping and stepping through or opening the door, and you're right there. So don't let the, I don't really feel like it, stop you. Do it anyway, and then see how you feel. And I guarantee you're going to start feeling better. So let's affirm together this commitment. Are you willing to make the commitment? I guess I should ask you before I invite you to affirm, right? Is this sounding good? Are you committed to this kind of abundant life? Do you want joy and love and light? And yeah? Okay, good. Then let's affirm it together. Together, I am committed to uncovering my innate abundance and generating abundant life. And so it is.